Hi, I'm the Strategist Cowboy. I am building a fence in my garden, so I may not put out a new episode of Beer Strategy and Warfare every week in the coming months. But so far I have. Today I am going to review a partly bottle fermented Nederlandish that is a Dutch Trappist beer. It is a high ABV level beer from the monastery brewery, the Achelse Kluis, or the monastery in Achel. This Trappist beer is an ale, naturally. It is a triple beer. The origin of the term triple is unknown, though the main theory is that it indicates strength in some way. There are also double beer types and quad beer types and quadruple beer types. Triple is always a blonde beer, whilst double is typically a dark sort of beer. This week's first and only contestant is thus the Trappist Triple Beer, Achel Blonde, and I'm putting it against itself.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Our first contestant this week is the Triple Beer Achel Blonde from the monastery brewery, the Achelse Kluis. If it hadn't been for Systemblogget's site, I wouldn't have known for sure, since the brewery's website is written in Nederlandish, but not in English. The ingredients in Achel Blonde beer assortment are water, barley malt, hops, and yeast. Pretty standard. The expiration date on this particular beer is July 2024. I purchased this beer as late as in very late December 2022. It has been standing in my cooler since. Today it is mid-May 2023. The Achel Blonde beer assortment comes in a size 33 centiliters. i.e. about 11 liquid ounces, beautiful slender bottle. The bottle label is two-folded and white, yellow and brown in color on the front and back labels. It says Trappist and Achel on the front bottle label. The front bottle label doesn't depict anything really, unless it is a wave. The Achel Blonde ale assortment cost me 33 kroner. That is $3.17, which is $1.15 per every 4 ounces of beer. For a Trappist ale with an 8% ABV level, it is at least not surprisingly expensive. Systembolaget says that the preferred serving temperature on this beer is 8 to 10 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 46 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. It is kind of low. Does this low preferred serving temperature signal that this Trappist Blonde ale isn't really all that? The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperatures, so we will see now. It is coming right up. Well, not the beer, obviously. The review is. Achel Blonde has got an 8% ABV level. 8%. How about the experience then? Almost like a Pilsner aroma on this one. I mean, this beer has got a more than a five, 6 fingers tall head. I'm not kidding you. 6 fingers tall head. And it's, I don't know if it's a, let's see. It's, I'm not going to tell you if it's cloudy yet, but I will later on. But it's got a very clear yellow, watery color almost. Yellow, white in color. What is it? Yeah, so far it's clear, but it may not be clear later on. It's difficult to sense the aroma, but I did it from the bottle, from smelling the bottle at the cap. When taken off, of course. It's got a banana aroma, actually, a little bit. My first impression is that there's wheat in this beer. Is there? I mean, wheat malt. It shouldn't be. Let's see here. No, it should be water and barley malt, hops and yeast. But it's still got wheat taste. I get confused here. I mean, shouldn't be. And it's cloudy now. Okay. So it's cloudy now, yeah. I expected as much. My first impression. It's okay. It's a good beer. If it is a wheat beer, but it is not. And it's kind of rich, actually, but richer than most wheat beers are. So it's, I guess it's a barley malt beer, but I don't really sense that. It could be that it's barley malt in it, but that is wheat malt also. But if they don't state that it is wheat malt, there shouldn't be any wheat malt. It's bread-like, white bread. A little bit yeast-like, yeah, it is. So I'm pouring up the last bit of the beer. And it's cloudy, yeah. A little bit yeasty, bread-like. It's not so malty, unless it's wheat malt. The taste on my palate is wheat malt. And perhaps barley malt too, but there should just be barley malt. So I'm disagreeing with the actual ingredients. Is it sweet or dry? It's sweet, more sweet than dry, I think. Yeah. Bitterness or hoppiness? Yeah, well. It's not bitter. It's like a wheat beer in bitterness too. And it's a bit hoppy. It's not candy-like. Is there any fruitiness in it? Well, lemon peels, perhaps. It's a little bit sour, so maybe lemon peel, like. So it could be that. Are there any spices in it? Probably a little bit. Excuse me. The undertone is a little bit I don't want to say fad, but what you call this let's see here if I translate this word. Matt. I translate Matt to Matt. Very good. So it's Matt in the taste. If we can say Matt in taste. Carbonation level, it's pretty high, I guess. It's not creamy, but it's a little bit acidic or sour. Difficult to say which. More naturally sour than unnaturally acidic or artificially acidic. So more naturally sour than the artificial acidic, I'd say. I don't want to say that it's artificially acidic. It wouldn't be fair. And it's not dark roasted, of course. It's unfiltered. Let's see here. It's a little bit banana-like. But I don't think it's they've done it intentionally, but I don't know. How can I know? It's a little bit banana-like. Or perhaps apricot-like. Anyway, which one? I'm not sure, but they might have used syrup when brewing this beer. They might have, not honey. I don't think honey. And that's about it. Okay, what about grading then? Well, this is not the best Trappist beer I've tried. It's not, but seven devils out of 10 possible, I give it. Seven devils out of 10 possible. It's about the lowest I have ever given a Trappist beer, I think. But it's not a bad beer, and it's fairly cheap. 30, what was it? Let's see here. 33 kroner, that's $3.17. Or $1.15 per every 4 ounces of beer. So Excuse me. Pardon me. Absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines, military or civilian. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underage or pregnant. This week's lesson I call The American Dream is Dead. Prove me wrong. There is certainly much more to say than I can deliver right now on this issue I am discussing here. But I'll give it a go. Why do we soon need to introduce a lower retirement age? Alternatively, a 4-day work week. Alternatively, a shortened work day. This question is set up in conflict in Radio P1 in the podcast Jobba tills vi dör, Work Until We Die. In that program, P1's reporters have looked not only at public health aspects and people's wallets, but also at the national economic gains that could be achieved with the implementation of a lower retirement age, or a 4-day work week, or a shortened work day. Let us not succumb to the temptation to reverse the causality and say that we need to ease the workload for Us Workers United in order to bring about social reform. The labor movement has de facto largely disappeared in Sweden. No, we should look at the issue soberly and rationally and have the benefits for our society in mind. Even if we do so, we as individuals can still have the labor movement in mind if or when we introduce reforms. In this way, a determined individual can actually bring about a revived labor movement in Sweden. It's just a matter of attitude and will. The technical automation has reached a level where Sweden has been able to afford to have more people on disability leave, if that can be seen as a merit. But a lot more documented medical conditions have been added as disability qualifications in the last 20 years or so. In the United States, the Republicans have no soft pillows for penniless compatriots, or as they call it, white trash Americans. These constitute Trump's voter base. The reluctance of the Republicans to even discuss universal healthcare creates an increasingly larger voter base for such grotesque figures as Trump on both the right and on the left. On the left, we have AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Although many Trumpists still in true opposition to those by the Republicans dubbed Rhino, Republicans in name only, as John McCain, Rip, and Mitt Romney were called, refused to let non-white Americans take part in universal healthcare. They'd rather risk dying due to future lack of medical care for themselves and their loved ones, just as long as those damned migrants from those shit countries don't get any healthcare, until these MAGA Americans themselves stand alone with diagnosed malign cancer, or if they're just spitting blood. America voted for Trump in both the 2016 election and the 2020 election because Trump was the only presidential candidate politician who wanted to end America's traditional immigration policy by the means of his choice, building a wall against Mexico. It was a big, bombastic, and spectacular action, but it turned out to be a dud. As a footnote, It could be said that it came at just the right time. It came when Mexico's oil was practically on its last barrel. Study the CIA World Factbook, folks. Anti-immigration from South American countries and other crap countries, along with a strong military defense, and then tax breaks for the rich, have always been the Republicans' hobby horse. It's just that Trump put into action the white trash, what a damn choice of words, patriots' own thoughts, and he gave them a vision that they could understand in their small, low-achieving brains. Migrants, border, war was as far as they could think. The US has become a plebeian empire. Biden is trying to rectify that, of course, not least because his plans to fuel an American/Five Eyes war in the Middle East against Iran, but indirectly against China, would be blocked. It is, of course, simplified described by me. Neoliberalism and trickle-down economics policies in the US since Ronald Reagan was in office have proved disastrous, since blue-collar jobs have been largely replaced by machines and computers. First, average Joe loses his job. Soon after, or right after that, he loses his income. Then he loses his home. And throughout this procedure, there is no longer any trace of a societal safety net to speak about. Alternatively, average Joe may find himself taking a really crappy job in competition with many others who have become unemployed due to the automation and computerization of the last 20 or 30 years or so, and to a much lower wage. Therefore, the middle class has diminished in the United States. Average Joe may even have to take two jobs or three to support himself and his family. This means that he/she can be grateful to be able to cling to the squirrel wheel at the cost of his/her personal state of health. Cheap food is bad junk food after all. And the personal relationship with his/her children. It might work, but as soon as he/she hits the wall, or someone in his/her family becomes seriously ill, which will always happen to everyone sooner or later in their lifetime, he or she ends up in the not so enviable position of having the dubious pleasure of choosing between losing the family home or letting the family starve. And then it is surprising that the US has experienced social turmoil in the last decade, or what? What must we Swedes do to avoid such a horrific situation? It may not be a question of what we Swedes should do, because we probably all know what to do here in Sweden's collective consensus landscape. Thank God for that. We are no more stupid than that we can learn from America's unsustainable political and social situation. It is more a question of how we should go about achieving a socially sustainable society. Even though I advocate a profitable national solution, we still must, in order to proceed in the reasoning, take Fia Mediocre's perspective into account here. Fia Mediocre, a single mother of two, experiences food prices rising, fuel prices skyrocketing, and the cost of living skyrocketing in general. But her salary doesn't. Fia Mediocre is now facing three choices. Option one, She has to compete with many other job seekers for a second low-paid job. This means that she will also have less time for her own children, and maybe she will also hit the wall and face disability leave, and has to see her own children become pariahs because they cannot afford decent clothes, mobile phones, or anything at all, really. Let's hope that Fia Mediocre's strengthened finances cover the childcare costs if she gets an extra job. Option 2. She gets to cut her losses and, with an inflated economy, go into default. See one above. Option 3. She goes to school in the hope of a better paying job in the future, even if she then has to pay back student loans. See one above. All three alternatives means a financial deterioration for Fia Mediocre and for society in general. What is bad for Fia Mediocre is bad for our country. She can't afford to buy anything beyond the bare necessities. Of course, the occasional pensioner can make an extra income when Fia Mediocre and others leave their children in their care. But will Fia Mediocre become an employer then, with all that it entails in extra working hours, bookkeeping, complicated employer and VAT declarations, and authority contacts? Poor Fia Mediocre with children. It will not work out well for Fia Mediocre, unless she and many others have to contribute to the black economy. It's not popular in Sweden. So how do we untie the knot? After all, we have this thing with automation taking over certain jobs, even if new jobs are added. But there are hardly any new jobs in the low-wage occupations. After all, that is where the automation takes place. But that is not quite true, because if Fia Mediocre works in elderly care, automation probably means less physical strain to her body, which is good. But social and business managers tend to turn to staff reductions, seeing them as necessary when the workload for employees decreases. Then we are back to square one, albeit with yet another unemployed bread provider, Fia Mediocre with daughter Pia and son Liam. It's proper to name them, because they have names in real life too. Reliable managers do not shy away from evicting families with children. But on the plus side, society becomes richer when automation puts Fia Mediocre with her children, Pia and Liam, into bankruptcy. It is lucky then that Fia Mediocre happened to work at a privately owned nursing home. Then the money has somewhere to go, into the owner's pockets. Now I would like to add that I am in no way advocating a return to the time when all nursing homes were municipal nursing homes. I'm just trying to point out the problems that comes when the money finds its way up into the pockets of the already wealthy, if you don't tax the already wealthy more at the same time. What money is it that trickles down in Fia Mediocre's situation? Currently none, as taxes tend to be lowered rather than raised, both in America and in Sweden. But sometimes Fia Mediocre gets a breadcrumb thrown her way too. Mostly so that there will be no social unrest, I think. Some options. Option A. Perhaps we can best solve our common future by lowering the retirement age by 5 years. But maybe only for some work-demanding professions. Option B. Or we reduce the work hours for the working day by 1 hour, but we maintain the salaries, mind you. Or option C, we shorten the work week by one day. This option is more expensive because a normal workday is 8 hours. Option A and B cost society the same if every blue-collar worker currently works 8 hours from the age of 20 for a period of 45 years. Both options result in fewer or milder occupational strain injuries. But in alternative B, option B, it will be difficult for FIA Mediocre to find a one-hour job if the working hours are reduced by 1 hour per day. It will be difficult for all mediocre workers to find a one-hour job, as long as one-hour jobs do not pop up like mushrooms from the earth. The option C, or shortening the work week, requires in larger workplaces that you really make use of the AI computerization to calculate when FIA Mediocre will get her time off, if you're not fully in favor of removing an entire workday in the week, but set it for a 5 hour shorter workday on Friday or Monday. FIA Mediocre will still have to work Fridays at another workplace if her finances are to be strengthened. So her working hours have not actually been shortened. But she doesn't strain her shoulders due to the monotonous heavy lifting as much anymore, and she may therefore not burden the healthcare system in the future, at least not as much or for as long. Will the doctor become obsolete due to AI? No, I don't think so. As improbable as it is for a driver to be able to go lie down in the truck's sleeping compartment during a drive, just as improbable is it for a doctor to be rendered obsolete by AI. In these work areas, it will certainly be required that someone monitors the information that controls the truck or the information that leads to medical advice and prescription writing. Those who become obsolete are the low-income earners who work in monotonous stationary jobs, as employers tend to not want more employees than absolutely necessary. We can afford more disability leave, can't we? We should probably see disability leave as something of a market regulator to avoid becoming USA 2.0. I, who don't even see myself as a left-wing guy, see this as a possible solution. I am absolutely pragmatic before I'm ideological. Now that what I'm saying is out in the open, we'll see if the US can learn from our choices without bull running towards the cliff itself. I do not imagine so. The antipathy towards non-Americans from various crap countries is too great. But in my country, no one should have to lie and die in the gutter. Another thing is the emotional coldness of Americans towards their drug addicts, many of them rendered addicts by their own pharmaceutical industry, which in the long run leads to the addicts camping on sidewalks and shitting and pissing in alleys. Because what American business owner wants drug addicts to use their local restrooms? God forbid. Then they would become like the socialist Swedish grocery chains Coop or IKEA that let beggars use their toilets and sit and beg in front of their stores. The addicts cause many social problems as addicts. In Sweden, we rehabilitate our addicts as long as they themselves wish to be rehabilitated. Then we won't have to step in shit in the cities. Well, maybe we can't avoid stepping in dog shit, even though we have dog latrines and dog enclosure areas. I even think there is a law on picking up crap in plastic bags after the dogs here in Sweden. But I don't know. I don't own a dog myself. There is no one who follows up any such law, and controls dog poo handling in any case. And it actually shows. What about their gun policy in some parts of America? It is deplorable. They have huge gun-related problems on their side, both among their minorities and among themselves, compatriot Americans. In California, Chicago, and New York, it is, quote, minorities, end quote, who commit most of the shootings. The gun laws are more restrictive there, as far as I know. In the gun liberal states, it is the whites who commit most of the mass shootings, anyway. But here it must be said that Sweden is probably more bomb-throwing than the United States. We all know who throws them bombs. We also have our own problems with wild shootings. We've even had some school shootings or other acts of death-related violence in some schools. But I'm firmly convinced that we will come to terms with our problems, or at least contain them. As for the US, I'm not so sure. Am I too hard on America, amigo? No, I don't think I am. What you are not aware of, you cannot fix. I'm just making them aware. If they don't want to deal with the problems, the only way that has a chance to lead to success, our way, that's their problem. Pilot on the top, I say. Thank you, and see you later, alligator, at a while, crocodile.